produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Giving honor to God, who's ahead of our house, thanking Him for His many blessings and all He's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all He's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Yes, He is real. Tell me. More precious than silver, more precious than diamond rings or rings.
Welcome to another episode of Awesomely Amazing. This is your Awesomely Amazing hostess, Desire, and I hope you are having an awesomely amazing day. If no one has told you, let me be the first to say it. You are awesomely amazing. And so this evening, we have an awesomely amazing guest, Gail Johnson. Gail Johnson is formerly known as Miss Delicious. She is a native Washingtonian. Oh, I just blew that. I'm so sorry. who relocated to Fayetteville, North Carolina in 2016. She is an author, ghostwriter, poet, and founder of her own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. Gail is an avid writer and a critical reader. With 5 published books under her belt, she's in the process of publishing her 6th book, which is titled The Scent of a Man. Welcome to Awesomely Amazing, Gail. How are you?
I am fabulous, darling, and awesome.
Yes, you are awesomely amazing. Okay, so we're just going to get into it. You are an author and a ghostwriter. Let's talk a little bit about the ghostwriting. How did you get into that?
Well, to make a long story short, I had ran into this young man who we were talking one day, and he was expressing to me a relationship that he was in with a young lady that he hadn't seen since, I think, high school or something like that. Anyway, so we got to talking, and it sounded just like a story to me, because when I have conversations with people, it's always running through my mind, this is a story, especially if the conversation is good. So what I did was I started writing portions of what we had talked about, and I called him and let him hear it. He said, that sounds really good. So that's how I got into the ghostwriting. But unfortunately, it didn't work out between me and the young man. So I still wrote the book, though, and had it published under my company. And unbeknownst to me, when I had given him the manuscript and everything, he had the book published some, I don't know, I think through Create Space or one of those publishing companies. But anywho, that's how I got into the ghostwriting thing.
What's the most interesting part of ghostwriting for you? Like, the part that you find most interesting?
The part that I find most interesting is how I can creatively put into the feelings that I have, you know, because ghostwriting is basically, to me, this is my experience, is creative writing, and it's in a whole different platform, because what you're doing is someone's dictating to you, or even someone sent you a phone conversation or whatever, and you work around that. So that's the most interesting part to me, is doing my creative writing into the ghostwriting as well.
Now, are there any projects that you absolutely will not touch as far as ghostwriting?
Well, I think I've never done sci-fi, so I really don't think that I could. Well, I won't say that I couldn't, but if for some reason it's just a sci-fi, I've never even written a book in sci-fi, and I rarely read sci-fi books. But, you know, if it came down to it, I could possibly do that, you know. But one of the projects I think I would, hopefully that's in the long, long, long run, that someone would want me to ghostwrite a sci-fi book for them. But, you know, like I said, nothing's impossible, and, you know, God is with me, so...
absolutely.
Like I said, I hope that'll be one of the last, you know, thing that someone will want me to write a sci-fi, ghostwrite a sci-fi book.
Okay. Now, you have 5 books of your own, and you're working on another one, correct?
Yes, I have 5 published books, and my sixth book is finished, but it's just waiting to go to the process of being formatted, excuse me, and putting the cover on it, and then, you know, I'm going to publish it with my company. But, yes, I have, this will be my 6th book, and after that I'll be working on my memoirs. So it's just, you know, I have so many books in my head, and, you know, thinking back over my life, I started writing when I was 9 years old. And I wrote my first short story, I think, when I was 13 or 14, when I was in a boarding school. So, you know, the girls that were there, I let them read, and they couldn't believe it. They said, well, how did you do that? And, you know, but it's just a blessing to me, you know, because people even ask me, you know, where did I graduate from, what did I take creative writing in school, and, you know, things like that. But, no, it's just my gift from God, my talent, my blessing. You know, so that's, excuse me, that's what's going on in my life right now. And I'd love to read, and I'm a critical reader. And by critical, I read to the point where if I see errors in a book, it's sort of like it irritates me, you know, because some people don't take the time to get editors, and some of the editors aren't really true editors that are saying they're editors and they're editing these books, and, you know, they're not correct. That's what I mean by I'm a critical reader, and I am an avid writer, because I write constantly, day in and day out. If I'm not writing notes, I'm writing this, writing that, you know, so that's my life right there.
Awesome. Can you tell us about your books that you have published, like your titles,
where
our listeners can go to get them, and, you know, any tidbits that you want to share about your books?
Okay. What was the last question you said I wanted to share? What did you say?
Your books that you have published. their titles, some juicy tidbits, and where our listeners can go pick them up.
Okay. Well, my very first book was a book called What's Past Is Not Forgotten. And that book was written out of the fact that I grew up in the projects, basically lived in the projects till I left home at 15, but went to live with somebody else that lived in the project, so it was like a project life. And, you know, just writing about different things that happened growing up. Now, the book is fictional. It's a fictional book, but some of the events in the book actually happened. Some of the people that are in the book, I didn't use anybody's real names in the first book. But the second book, I got permission to use, you know, different people's real names in the book, you know, incorporating them in the stories. But the second book to that was, it's a sequel to it because everybody was saying they wanted more. I want more, you know. So I wrote a sequel to that. And the second book, like I said, is actually people's names that gave me the permission to put their names in the book. And you know, those two books were basically my babies. What's Past Is Not Forgotten, and the sequel to that was What's Past Is Not Forgotten, The Reunion. And it's named The Reunion because every year, now this is the true part of the story, every year we used to have, like, reunions from the, you know, because they tore the projects down that I used to live in. So all the people who lived in the projects, every year they would have a reunion, and everybody would get together and, you know, have food and, you know, conversation and fun, you know, just getting together to see, you know, old people from the neighborhood, you know, people we grew up with and, you know. So, but the second book, you know, I got some requests because they want more. So I'm thinking maybe doing a final sequel to that one, but that would be somewhere down the road. You know, because it was definitely a good book. I even read that book, those books, myself over and over and over because it takes me back to my childhood and it takes me back to the memories of growing up in the projects and, you know, the things that happened in the projects. And, you know, people think living in the projects is a bad thing, but when I was growing up living in the projects, everybody was like family, everybody. You know, you knew people. Mm-hmm. You knew when a stranger came into those projects, you know, because everybody knew everybody. Everybody looked out for everybody. You know, it was like one big family, you know. So there were some good memories, you know, as far as me growing up in the project, as well as some bad memories, too, you know. But I think the good outweighed the bad. But the second book that I wrote was You Might Get Lucky. That book is based on a young man who was adopted into a family, and the family had a set of twins, a good twin and a bad twin. You know, that's generally how it goes sometimes. And his name was, this is really crazy, I can't even, well, anyway, his nickname was Lucky. They called him Lucky because when he was young, he had gotten into a car accident and was really messed up and pulled through. But anyhow, one of his adopted brothers, the bad twin, their names were Dwayne and Wayne. One of them had raped him, you know, and was causing him all kind of sexual acts and, you know, threatening him. And, you know, so eventually when he grew up, he got on with his life and, you know, got married and was doing very well for himself. And what happened, he had went to church one Sunday, and the sermon was about a little boy who had reminded him of what he had went through because his mother was a crack addict and his stepfather was a drug addict, and she would go off on binges, leaving the little boy with him, and the stepfather was raping him, you know, doing all kind of things to him, and the little boy, and he threatened the little boy with his gun, and the little boy found the gun one day and killed himself. So that set Lucky off, and he went on a quest to find his brother who had did what he did to him to make him pay for what he did. And the story is really, really, really good. It also expresses how men, you know, not only are being raped and not reporting it, you know, because of the fact that, you know, a man is supposed to be macho and, you know, this and that. Even gay men sometimes get raped and don't report it because of the simple fact, you know, that's just men's, how they feel about it. You know, I'm a man and this is what is supposed to happen and, you know, but the story is very interesting because when I was 15, I was raped. And it was very therapeutic for me to write that story and use a man, you know, even though it's true, men do get raped, you know, as the victim in this particular story, you might get lucky. Then after that, I wrote a book of delicious erotic short stories. There's all kind of little erotic short stories in the book from older women, younger men. A young lady got with her sister's husband. You know, it's just different little stories in there, you know, of erotic content. That was very good. And then after that was when I had made the sequel to my first book. The last book that I wrote was, this is really crazy. Back to Zero. I'm sorry. Back to Zero. That's the book that I had actually ghostwritten. But, you know, due to the circumstances, things that was going on between me and that young man, I couldn't, I didn't put it out for him because, number one, he never paid me. He never finished paying me. And then, you know, just different things that happened along the way. So I put that book out. It's called Back to Zero. That book is salacious. Very good, you know, book. And I'm, you know, I'm very sorry that, you know, things that went the way they went, you know, that I couldn't put it out for him. But, you know, that's just how things happen. So that book is, I sent Barack Obama a copy of it.
Nice.
Yes. And, you know, that book's really been doing very well for me. And, you know, like I said, this my sixth book is The Scent of a Man. Now, that book is a book. It's not a book of instructions or anything like that, but it's a book of letting women know that there are still some good men out here, because I'm quite sure you heard the old adage, all good men are either dead, gay, in jail, or married. That doesn't even sound right. That doesn't even sound
right.
You know, but that's how women have been, you know, listened to or owning up to that old adage. And I want to dispel that, because there are some good men out here. It's just that women need to be, a little bit more patient and know where to find these men, opposed to in the clubs, on the internet, and places that where people can, you know, because on the internet you can be anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, on these chat lines you can be anybody. You know, and clubs, you go into a club, you meet somebody, and, you know, it could be a thing, you're drunk and he's drunk, and you wake up in each other's face the next morning, and you say, what in the world have I done, you know? Not to say that you cannot meet a good man in a club, not to say you cannot meet a good man on the internet, but there are ways to go about doing that. And if you go on there and the first man you meet is the first man you're going to, you know, trust and, you know, give all your all to, then, you know, the first thing I really suggest is that you do a background check. And also, if you're going to do something over the internet, make sure that you do a where you can call them or do Skype or something, because guys will be on that line saying they're one thing and turn out to be another thing. And I used to be a recipient of the chat lines and the internet, and, you know, every time it seemed like these guys would say one thing, when I meet them, they'd be like, oh my goodness. So you have to be very careful in the choices you make if you want to meet somebody on the internet or in a club. And then there's things in the book about, you know, places where you can go and meet men. And also it has The Anatomy of a Man. Now, it gets down to the point, The Scent of a Man, the whole quest of the book is there's an attraction between men and women. and that's our natural scent. That's why I, you know, titled the book The Scent of a Man, because I had the opportunity to actually have that, to smell that, the natural scent of a man. And I'm telling you, it is OMG. It will drive you crazy. And it's not a bad smell or anything like this. Really, it's indescribable, but it's a smell that I, this guy that we were in a relationship, and one morning when we had woke up, for some reason I had laid up under his arms, and I could smell it, and it smelled like, you know, it was just something that I just wanted to just, I just wanted to be near him. I didn't want to move. It was just an attraction, you know, to that smell. And we all have that smell, but it's covered up through deodorant, soap, colognes, perfumes, and lotions, and all those types of things. So you really don't get the chance to smell the natural scent of
Right, right.
And trust me, that's once, you know, a woman gets to smell that, the natural scent of a man, whew, it's something. I only smelled that on two men. Another man I smelled it on, he had, this guy that I had a little crush on, he had came to my house one day to put my air conditioner in, and when he put it in, turned it on, and he was standing in front of it, and that smell, it, oh my God, I just stood in back of him, and I was, I just wanted to grab him. You know, I just
yeah.
wanted to grab him, but, you know, there's a lot of things, a lot of information in that book, you know, that women can walk away with for, you know, just read it for enjoyment or whatever, but it also has in there why men cheat, how to tell if your man is on the down low, and, you know, all kind of little tidbits for women to open their eyes and be more prepared. Perceptive of different things, and don't always be stuck on, oh, he's so cute, so I want him, you know, because my thing over the years, I'm finding out that all these, well, not all of them, but most good-looking men are either gay or on the down low. Most of them. I'm not going to say all of them, but, you know, a majority of them are, because of the simple fact they know that they look good, so they feel that they could be with anybody that they want to be with, man or male or female, and that's what they do. So you have to be very careful in your choice of picking men as well, because sometimes a man who is not as attractive as the man you want may be the best man for you.
Okay.
You have to stop being picky and choosy at times too, because, you know, you'll pass up a good man for a man that's going to be abusive to you, that's not going to treat you right, that's not going to be there for you. All he got going for him is his good looks, and you're taking care of him. So, you know.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
Yes, yes, and that's sad, because women. We're more emotional when it comes to relationships. You know, we get involved and, you know, want to be loved and want to be held and kissed and, you know, the whole nine yards, whereas men, they can sleep with one woman tonight and go home to their wife and sleep with her, go out the next night and sleep with another woman, you know. So also in the book, it expressed why men cheat. And then men, they don't want to forgive when women cheat on them, but when men cheat on us, they beg and plead for us to forgive them, and we generally do, because that's just, you know, that's just in our nature. We're more emotional than a man. A man, he feels, oh, she cheated on me with him. So, you know, he's thinking, well, why did she do that? Is his penis bigger than mine? Do he make love to her better than me? And, you know, they get to that point. So they say, well, I'm done with her. She's a whore. She's a slut. You know, different things like that. And that goes both ways. But because this world is male dominant, you know, they feel that, you know, women are the whores, and they're the sluts, and they're this, and they're that. To me, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Now, when is this book coming out, Gail?
Well,
I know you said that there's some, you know, it's in the final stages, but do you have a release date in mind?
Well, let's just put it like this. Believe it or not, I started working on that book in 2012 when I started writing Back to Zero. So I put that book on the back burner.
Okay.
And I just finished it, you know, during the COVID because it was so many things going on in my life, so many things. I moved down to North Carolina, was going through this, going through that. So then when the COVID came, you know, it was sort of like a little blessing, you know, because, you know, there are some good things coming out of this COVID, you know, even though people's lives has been turned upside down and twisted this way and that way. But there are some good things that's coming out of it. And for me, it was getting that book completed because I kept, you know, I would go into my computer, I'd be writing this and doing this, and I said, what am I going to work on? I'm going to work on The Scent of a Man. Put it on, still putting it on the back burner. Now, mind you, like I said, I started on that book 2012, but I have everything together except for I have to get it together, get the funds together, and send it to my graphic designer so she can format it and put the cover on it. And it's already been edited. My editor, he's from Canada. Excellent, excellent editor. Excellent, you know. So it's already been edited. All it needs to be is formatted and the cover put on it and then, you know, let's just put it like this. This is August, right?
Right.
It'll be out before the year is out. I'll just put it like that because I don't want to say it'll be out next month, then next month come. Then, you know, so I'll just say it'll be out before this year is up. You know, we
So we're pre-recording your show here in August. I think your show is going to air in November. So, but anyways, before the end of 2020, The Scent of a Man should be out, which would be awesome.
Yeah.
Especially around holiday time and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people begin to feel lonely, I think, and begin to accept any and everything. And this would just be more of a reminder, you know, not to fall into that trap. Keep those standards up.
Yes, yes, because people want everything like yesterday. That's why
a lot of women
are selling for Mr. Right now instead of Mr. Right.
Oh, so, I like that.
Yeah, so, you know.
That'll preach all day.
Yeah, so if you just be patient. Just be patient and stay prayed up. Stay prayed up. Be patient, and you will find Mr. Right instead of Mr. Right now. There's a lot of Mr. Right nows out there. And they're out there waiting for you as well. But Mr. Wright, that's the one that you really want. Yes. Yeah, so.
Gail, it has been so great having you here on Awesomely Amazing. Our time is running out. I do want to make sure that you let our listeners and readers know where they can find your books, how they can connect with you on social media, and you do have a publishing company as well.
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Are you accepting authors with your publishing company?
Yes, I am. I published a young lady's book that lives in Colorado. So I am, you know, accepting authors' books, manuscripts, you know. But my website, too, my publishing company is JJ Publishing. That's J-A-Y publishingcompany.com, and I'm on social media at Gail Delicious Johnson Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn, but I haven't been on LinkedIn forever, so I really don't even know how to give out that information. But if you go to my website, there's a link in the back that will take you probably to my LinkedIn account. And I also have a Blog Talk radio show that airs whenever I want to do it, and that's blogtalkradio.com/delicious_talk. And I generally put it on Facebook when I'm going to have a show. I just had a show last night, as a matter of fact. And I'm looking forward to maybe doing a show next week. But generally it would air every Monday, and I think I had it airing every Monday and Saturday or something like that. But like I said, if you and also if you'd like to be a guest, you can email me at gjdelicious37@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to have you on, regardless to whatever your whatever your topic would like to be, because I like to interview entrepreneurs, people who have different things they like to chat about, important things, or if you're an author, publisher, you know, just whatever. If you want to get your business out there, you know, just hit me up. Also, let's see, how else can you get in touch with me? I gave out my email address, my Facebook, and my publishing company. So those are the ways that you can get in touch with me. And also my books, you can order them from my publishing company. I have my own online store. I do have Back to Zero is on Amazon. I think it's Kindle. I don't know if it's a Kindle book on there or the paperback, but it is on Amazon. And my other books are on, you can order them from my website.
But awesome. Can you shout your website out again? Because I definitely want to make sure I get over to your website to pick up a couple books.
Okay.
And just in case the listeners may not have gotten it the first time.
Okay. It's J-A-Y-J-A-Y-J-J, Publishing, PUBLISHING.com. JJ Publishing.
Okay. Thank you so much, Gail, for being here with us this evening. You have been awesomely amazing. And to our listeners, I want to encourage you to continue to be awesomely amazing and have an awesomely amazing weekend. And we will talk soon.
All right, thank you. And I love the title of your show. That is just so cute, awesomely amazing.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure speaking with you, darling. And you keep doing what you're doing, and hopefully we'll stay in touch. And anytime you want to be a guest on my show, just let me know, okay?
Thank you so much. I will. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
We're giving honor to God, who's ahead of our house, thanking him for his many blessings and all he's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all he's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Yes, he is real to me. More precious than silver. More precious than diamond rings or anything that I could give.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.